Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Tonight you're mine completely. You give me your love so sweetly.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. When you get there, please subscribe to my newsletter. I think you'll like it. I'm saying please because I think you'll benefit from it. And I'm only saying that because of what other people tell me, what my subscribers tell me. They like it. And if somehow they don't get it, they email me and say, where's my letter? I want it. So based on that and based on some of the nice things that some of you have written to say about it, that tells me that it's beneficial. And so if you're a small business owner or want to be, if you're starting, running or growing a small business or any of all three of those things, I think the letter will help you. It's free. It comes every week by email. You can subscribe very easily. And if you decide you don't like it, it's even easier to take you to be off my list than it is to get on my list. Because the first thing you have to do, we have only opt-in. We don't spam anybody. We only send our letter to those who say, please send me the letter. So you can do that at my website, jbsba.com. And plus lots of other things, including past interviews with our guest this half hour, Andre Carter. Andre is one of my friends, and he's a great friend of small business. He's the author of a new book, which is going to be out in a few months, called Little Blues. I think that's still the title. And he's our intellectual property expert. Andre, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. You haven't changed the title.
No, we have not.
Still Little Blues.
Still Little Blues.
Did your publisher try to get you to change it?
No, the publisher doesn't. Sometimes you get to something and it speaks to the message in the middle of it, and so
yeah,
people just like it. So
I agree. Well, I'm glad they didn't try to change it, because sometimes publishers mess around with titles. They think they know more about what a title should be than the author who's got it in his gut.
Well, there you go.
And they don't.
So we've made it past that.
Well, Andre, you've really helped me in my intellectual property journey, and that's what I call it. As you may know, I wrote an article called Our Intellectual Property Journey from Memories to Megabytes, and you've helped me a lot with my understanding of how our assets have morphed, metamorphosis from most of our assets being things that you can paint and kick and hand somebody to things that you can't hold in your hand.
Right. And that's a very general progression. You look at, it's always the little things that show you where we really are. And if you imagine the number of people out there that can now work in places other than an office, coffee shops, the basement at home, or their office in the attic, depending on, you know, what real estate they've won at home. And it's really about the fact that you can work wherever the human mind is and has access mm-hmm. to those pieces of technology and information that allow you to communicate with the rest of the world. But
it's really for a long time, it's really been access to information. Mm-hmm. That's really been the silver bullet, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. It really has. An ability to turn information into knowledge.
Right.
And when you do that, you've invoked the intellect. And then from there, you have the ability to create an asset, either with analyzing that and putting it out in the way of, you know, stock information or analysis, as an example, or taking that and turning it into a new process, a better way to build a better mousetrap or change the way something's done.
One of the ways I've been trying to help people deal with globalization, all this year I've been having what I call an honest debate about jobs.
Right.
About why jobs are, what the job situation is like, not only in the United States but around the world, how we're employing our physical capital, our human capital,
mm-hmm.
all around the world, how that's changed a good bit. And I've had quite a few smart people on to talk about this, to engage in this honest debate with me about our honest discussion. Most of the time it wasn't too much of a debate about what's happening. And what I have said that I think helps some people is that if you're mad at globalization, if you think it's a bad thing, think about this. Globalization is the trade manifestation of our intellect.
It really is.
And if you're mad at globalization, then you're mad at our desire to improve the things that we can imagine, to create the things we can imagine and improve on those once we invent them.
That's absolutely right. And I think the other piece of globalization is that if you look at, I mean, there's a lot going on with the notion of outsourcing. And at least in technology, sometimes it can be very bad. I mean, it's always a bad story when somebody loses their job. You just don't want to hear that. But the reality is that a lot of the jobs that that drift from one place to another are certain kinds of jobs. And if you can, the power of intellectual property is that in technology, for example, we have a very fast cycle of innovation so that the skills and, for lack of a better word, the product and technology, the areas that are hot change, and they change every 12 months, pretty mm-hmm. much. And those who are able to keep current and increase their productivity and able to move to the next thing, I don't think ever have a threat of having their job outsourced. Now, this is in technology.
Right.
If you started out as a web designer and didn't increase those skills and are still a web designer, let's say you did that in 1995, boy, that was hot and you made all the money in the world. If you're still doing that in 2004, right, and, you know, don't know Flash, right,
mm-hmm.
Then your market value has diminished. And guess what? There is somebody somewhere else in the world, right, who's willing to take the reduced rate that people are paying now to have websites constructed, but at the same time are going to be able to work in newer technologies that, you know, have faster yield and make them more productive.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there are people here in the U.S. who still make great money doing websites and are not really worried about having what they do outsourced because they've changed it. They've become more productive at it.
They've learned new ways to deliver their product in innovative ways. Well, the that cycle you were talking about, that 12-month
mm-hmm.
cycle,
yeah.
The reason all this is so breathtaking for a lot of people and so frightening for a lot of people, 200 years ago, that cycle, that generation of capability, of knowledge, might have lasted 50 years or 100 years.
Right.
And then in the 20th century, it got down to where that cycle changed to it didn't change for maybe a generation.
Right.
But now that same cycle is being compressed into 12 months. 10 years from now, it might be 60 days.
It could be. And you know what?
And so we have to have our tennis shoes on all the time, don't we?
We do. And that gets back to the notion of what we were calling, you know, there's a lot of terms out, but, you know, human capital or intellectual capital. Because, you know, 200 years ago, the basis for an economy was agrarian. We were growing things, and you needed land. And land grows wheat, corn, whatever, at a specific rate. You can speed it up somewhat, but...
Hold on to that thought, Andre. We're going to come back, folks, and talk some specifics about intellectual property that will help your small business right after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and a beautician out the wheel. We're going downtown in the middle of the night.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. We're bad and we're nationwide here with our good friend Andre Carter, and the author of the new book, Little Blues, which isn't available yet, folks. Don't go looking for it. It's not quite out. And when it is, we'll be the first to tell you because you're going to launch it on this show, right, Andre?
That's right.
And what do you think, about first quarter, something like that?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what they're saying right now.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to being able to offer to my audience. Why don't you give us your website before we go any further?
It's www.irimicorp, and that's IRIMICORP.com.
All right. Now, if you go there at this moment and there's a problem, I think they're having a little server problem. So,
just
be patient and come back in a minute or two. Okay. Andre, talk to us about some specifics with regard to intellectual property that we need to know about to help us to be more successful in our small businesses.
Okay. And I'm going to tie right into where we left off so that makes perfect sense.
The agrarian example.
Yeah, exactly. 200 years ago, you know, land was the key thing that you needed if you were going to grow something. And, you know, just like it takes 9 months to make a baby, it takes a certain amount of time to grow corn or tomatoes. We moved into the industrial age, and then, okay, now there was a there was a production process that was aligned, and you needed machinery, and that was kind of the basis for production. And as such, the better your machinery got, you could slow it down, but you still had to build it. I mean, you were there's a certain time that comes from whatever the basis for your economy is. And this era, I think we're looking squarely at the fact that it's the human intellect, and mm-hmm. we all know enough people to know you can change your mind in a minute, which means you can come up with a good idea in a second.
Right.
And when people are given time to thought and focus on a problem, that creates a standpoint where now change happens more quickly, and that's really what it's about.
Because has there ever been a better time to make sure that you leverage all the brain cells in your employees?
No. And the only better time will be a year from now.
Or tomorrow, yeah.
Exactly. Tomorrow, yeah. A year from now, exactly.
Because I like what you said. I really like the folks. I hope you'll think about that. And by the way, this will be on the test later. Andre said you can change your mind in a minute, and you can have a new idea in a second.
Right.
That's a really important way to think about this.
And the key
from an offense and a defense standpoint.
Exactly, because the thing I was going to say, you know, down to some specific things that folks can do that you see all the time. The idea then becomes that you got people who are your friends and people who are your competitors, and it's a crowded world. But in any business, the things that are what I call the special sauce, right?
Uh-huh.
They're what you do different. They're why people mm-hmm. come back to you over someone else. And to the extent that you show those things, especially if they're process-oriented or invention-oriented, or look at this new tool we put together, the extent that you show those to other people, you're giving them a good idea. You're either mm-hmm. creating a new competitor mm-hmm. or you're creating the next thing.
And see, that's one of the things that small business owners really stress out about, Andre, is because when we do come up with ideas, we don't really know how to commercialize it or to leverage it without giving it away. I don't know how many small business owners have come to me, and when I see that knitted furrow on their brow, I know that what's going on.
Well, and you know what, and a part of that is you have to build what we call culture. That's why the little blues. It's a culture of intellectual property. Because you've got to do things before you have the next idea. You know, things that, a key thing, a lot of companies do, they passively give away their IP rights. They forfeit them. They show them to too many people. They post them on a website, right, without, and so things you want to do are when you bring people in, anybody into your organization, say into your back office, if you're retail even, you want to have everybody that comes back there that you show anything to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
They say, look, I'm going to show you my books.
Have them ready.
Have them ready. And that should be something that happens no matter what goes on, right?
And anybody who's reasonably sophisticated will understand, and they'll sign it. And if they don't want to sign it, they were going to steal it from you.
Well, yeah, there's a high likelihood. And if they don't,
if you have that attitude, though, you won't lose it.
There you go. I mean, and you always worry about offending somebody, but, I've been in lots of tech companies, and, my parents come by, if we're going to take them back to, I'm going to take you back to the design room, we'll show you some stuff. I need you to sign this stuff.
Right.
Why? Oh, because, I understand,
mm-hmm.
So, another one is that, when you really look at this, you want to make sure that you've got a practice for folks who won't sign an NDA, right? That's the next thing, because you're going to bring your banker in or whatever, and, they see lots of businesses, and they're not, there are folks out there that are just larger than you that won't, so have a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've got a sign-in sheet when they come into the office, just so you know who was there and when,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe when you send them, if they want to see a copy of something that you need to show them, maybe you want to send that to them as opposed to having them leave with
it. And when you give somebody a document like a banker, make sure that there's a paragraph on there that explains that this is your proprietary information, and they're not to distribute it without your express written permission.
And that's exactly right, and that's your treaty. Because if you treat it as confidential, that goes a really long way.
Yep.
Maybe if you give it to them, send it to them, and send it to them FedEx, so
and
there's a receipt that they got it.
And if you don't have an attitude that you're willing to defend your own intellectual property, other people will think you don't care, and they won't think they're stealing it from you. They'll think you just gave it to them.
There you go. There you go.
Andre, the book is called Little Blues.
It is.
And it's going to be out in a few months. I can't wait, folks. This is going to be, I predict it's going to be a watershed book, Andre. And I'm proud of you for writing it. I think it's going to be an important one. And we're going to make sure that small business owners know about it. Give us your website again, please.
It's www.irimicorp.com. And that's IRIMICORP. And as we leave, anniversary of when Selden sold the patent for the automobile today.
Exactly. For $200. Sold it for $200. His family's still mad at him about that, Andre.
Right.
Hey, thanks, Andre. See you next time. Quick break, right back with Judge William Huss right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.